Good morning, church family.
You guys doing good?
Good. I woke up to the same email you guys did on Thursday that said Derek would be preaching this morning. I was like, all right, guess we should figure out something to do for Sunday morning. And then I spent most of yesterday in the fetal position after having a lock-in with the teens on Friday night. So. Great preparation for this morning. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully the Holy Spirit will intercede and something will come across for you guys. This morning I want to talk about Thanksgiving, the idea, not the holiday. Hopefully Thanksgiving isn't your favorite holiday because it's not the best one. Just want you guys to know. Because it's really just a worse version of Christmas if you think about it. And you don't have to watch the Lions play football on Christmas, which is really nice. So that's just my two cents on why Thanksgiving is not the best holiday. So that's what this sermon's not actually about, the holiday. Whenever I was in third grade, we used to sit in pods where we were, you know, had a little group of desks put together. And there was a kid that sat in front of me named Andrew. Andrew and I were not really friends, but we just sat across and had to stare at each other every day of third grade. And one day, Andrew didn't show up to school. He was sick. And then one day turned to 2 days, and then 3 days, and then four, and then a week, and then 2 weeks. And finally, Andrew came back to school. And so I was curious, and I said, Andrew, where were you? He said, I was sick. I said, okay, sounds good. Sorry about that. I went home that day, and I started not to feel well. And I started to get these bumps all over me. Started to get itchy. One day became 2 days, became 3 days, became four, a week, 2 weeks. I had the chicken pox. It was great. So 2 weeks of watching The Price is Right, sitting in front of the TV with my mom. And I remember going back to school, and I sat down in front of Andrew, and Andrew goes, where were you? And I wanted to be like, where do you think I was, Andrew? I think you know exactly where I was. Okay? I said, I was sick. And he was like, I was too. I was like, I know, because you gave it to me. And I remember saying, thanks, Andrew. But of course, I didn't mean it, right? I misused the word thanks. I felt really bad about that. We have a weird relationship with the word thanksgiving or thanks or thankfulness. And we have another word that we use almost interchangeably, which is the word gratitude. They're actually two different words with two different definitions. Gratitude, you may have heard people say, you know, have an attitude of gratitude, which is great. It's a nice little play on words. But gratitude requires some type of exchange. It requires you to receive something in order for you to be grateful for it, which is interesting, but not really pertinent to what we're talking about this morning. Being thankful is more of a mindset. It's an idea, right? I can be thankful and have absolutely nothing. It's the way that I see the world. It's the perspective that I choose to have. And so when I told Andrew that, I really didn't mean what I said. A few years later, we moved to a different neighborhood. And it actually happened to be the same neighborhood that Andrew lived in. And I would regularly, while I was outside playing, I would see Andrew and his little brother and their mom go by on evening walks. And usually Andrew and his little brother were riding their bikes. And Andrew, his bike was clearly too small for him. He had a really small bike, and you could tell he was struggling to pedal it. And I remember seeing him. This happened a few times. And one night, I'm outside. Mom's gardening, and I'm standing in the front yard playing. And I see them go by. And I look at my mom, and I was like, Mom, can I give Andrew my bike? And she said, I guess so. You never ride it, so sure, why not? So I ran to the garage, grabbed my bike, ran out into the middle of the street like a crazy person, screaming after this family as they're going down the street. And I said, here, take this. And the mom is like looking super confused why this child is trying to give their son a bike. And my mom's like, it's okay, he can have it. And so I got to give Andrew my bike. I don't tell that story because it makes me look good, which it does. I was such a nice child that I gave away my bicycle. It was something that I didn't really care about, the bike. But I knew he would get some use out of it. So I'm sure that he, in that moment, was grateful. But what I was thankful for was that I got to redeem a moment with Andrew. That I got to give him something after I kept replaying that moment over and over again where I wasn't nice to Andrew that day. And I think that that's great when we can take something and we can change it, when we can make it good, when we can fix it, we can redeem it. We can have a different attitude. So that means that in and of itself, that I somehow became thankful for the fact that Andrew gave me chickenpox, which is a strange thing to think about. But when we talk about the idea of being thankful or Thanksgiving, it really is this inversion of everything. That's what's at the heart of the gospel. That's what's at the heart of the kingdom of God, is this inversion of the way things should be, the way that things look. And so I want to look at someone in Scripture that I believe understood what it meant to be thankful. I don't think anyone that we see other than Jesus encapsulates this more than the Apostle Paul. Paul knew what it meant to be thankful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28, he's talking to the Corinthians about everything that's happened to him, everything that he has endured for Jesus. And it gives us this insight into who he was as a person, which I think is so invaluable to us as Christians, that we get a look at these people who have gone on before us and what they've experienced, what they've endured. This is what it says. It says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all of the churches. Paul doesn't say this because he's trying to make the Corinthians feel a certain way. I think he's trying to make them understand who he is, why he cares the way that he does. Paul somehow finds a way in all of that to be thankful. He tells us in Philippians 4, which we had read earlier, verses 10 through 13, he says this, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That's the answer right there. Paul says it's not that hard when you really think about it. How was I able to go through all those things? How was I able to endure all of that? It's because of Jesus. Paul found himself in a really particular, a strange set of circumstances because of who he was. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the guy, right? And he turned his back on all of that when he decided to follow Jesus. But the truth is, to the outsider, to the Gentile, he still looked like a Pharisee. He was still a Jew. And so that put Paul in opposition to not just the Jews who he kind of turned his back on, but to the Gentiles who he still didn't look like. And so everyone was in opposition to Paul. And Paul knew that following Jesus was going to put him in that place, that he was going to have to face these kinds of situations, and that most of Paul's life was going to be a struggle. And he gladly does it. And he says, it's all because of Jesus, that he learned to be content in any and all circumstances. To me, that's absolutely mind-blowing. Because when I have to stay up all night with the teens on Friday night, I feel like my world is going to come unglued. And Paul says, really, because of Jesus, none of that stuff really matters. We can go through anything and everything because of him. Verse 13 is a verse that we're all really familiar with. People really love to use Philippians 4:13. It's kind of a banner verse. You know, Tim Tebow puts it on his eye black, and we write it on our basketball shoes, and we see it on bumper stickers. And I think that that's great that we get exposed to it and we get to see it everywhere in our lives. But it loses some of its context when it stands on its own. And within the greater context of what Paul is saying here is this idea. It's not that because of Jesus, I can make all of my three-pointers in my basketball game. The word that is used here, that Paul uses in Greek, is the word ishul, which means to endure, to withstand. It's not about what you can do, it's about what you can take. And he says, because of Jesus, we can endure anything. That's how Paul becomes thankful, because of that one simple revelation about Jesus. It's not a complex message, but it's definitely not easy to live out each and every day, right? We have things that happen in our lives, things that we can't see coming, difficult circumstances that we have to endure, that we have to walk through. And it's really difficult to find times and places and opportunities to be thankful even in the midst of those things. Last year, when we lost Dad, we had just moved here. And it was very strange to be in a new set of circumstances that were a huge blessing to us, and at the same time have something just earth-shattering and extremely difficult to walk through happen almost simultaneously. Because on one hand, I was extremely grateful, and at the same time, I was having a really, really hard time being thankful. And in the midst of that, you look for the small things, you look for the little things, right? Because it's not always going to be, oh, great, everything's going my way. Because more often than not, you're going to have some adversity in your life each and every day. It's the ability to find something to look at. I love the quote from Mr. Rogers. I don't know if you guys, my older people in the audience, you guys know Mr. Rogers. He's awesome. The young people don't know him anymore. Mr. Rogers is quoted saying, it's about his mother, actually. Whenever they would see something catastrophic happen, when there would be an accident or a fire or something, his mother would remind him to look for the helpers in those situations. And it wasn't to minimize the pain and the destruction and the brokenness that was present, but it was to look for the good, because there's always good to be seen if we take the time to look. And that means if we can see it, then we can be thankful for it. Even in the darkest hours of our life, we can find something to be thankful for. And Paul says that thing is Jesus. Joan Leslie Murray was a bank manager for Bank of America in North Carolina. She was also a pretty accomplished skydiver. She had had 35 solo jumps, and so she had done it quite often. And on one day in 1999, she went up for a day of skydiving, and on her first jump of the day, whenever she went to pull her chute, it didn't deploy. So she cut away her primary chute, pulled her reserve chute, but it also failed to open. And so Joan fell from 13,000 feet and hit the ground. Joan hit a massive fire ant colony when she hit the ground. And as she was laying there with all of these injuries, mortal injuries, she began to be stung by thousands of fire ants. And because of that, her body went into shock, and adrenaline began to course through her body, and it kept her pulse going, kept her faint heartbeat beating. Enough time, in fact, for paramedics to arrive, and they took her to a hospital, and she ended up making a full recovery, one of a handful of people that have fallen from planes from great altitudes and survived. Joan later would say that she was thankful for all those fire ants. I think that that's really, really interesting. Because under no set of circumstances would you ever say that, other than that one particular scenario, right? I can never say I'm thankful for fire ants or ants in general. I don't know about you guys, but I am constantly getting bitten by ants here. I went my whole life until I moved to Ada, Oklahoma, without being bitten by ants. And I've been bitten hundreds of times in the year and a half that we've been here. And so I can't imagine being thankful for that. But there's a scenario, there's a situation, a set of circumstances where that is possible, that you can look at something awful and be able to see the good in it. That's amazing. I think Jesus calls each and every one of us to do that too. At the end of the Gospel of Luke, whenever Jesus is having the Last Supper with his disciples, it says that Jesus said, "This is what I'm waiting for. This is the moment." He said, "I've waited to do this with you." And we know in that story what happens. We know that Judas betrays Jesus. We know that Peter denies him. We know that ultimately when the chips are down, that when Jesus is on the cross, that everyone is going to abandon him. And yet Jesus decides in that moment to be thankful for his friends, to be thankful for his disciples, and to share the Last Supper with them. If I knew everything that Jesus knew about what was going to take place, I don't know if I could do that. But Jesus was thankful. He took bread, he took the cup, and he shared it with them. And when we look at those words, right, that we use, the word thanks that's given for those, it's the word Eucharisto, which is the word that we use now for the word Eucharist that we use for communion. And that word just means thanks. It means to be thankful. Jesus, in that moment, was thankful. And Jesus found a way to be present. So present that he didn't think about all the things that were going to come after, but just the things that he was experiencing in that moment, and he found a way to be thankful. I don't know about you guys, but I struggle every single day with finding things to be thankful for or to have an attitude of being thankful, because some minor inconvenience can just send me into a backslide of, well, if it's this, then it's one thing, then it's the next. And before long, I'm all worked up over the most minor of inconveniences. And it's really difficult for me to see the good that's in my life. So if you are like me and you struggle with that, I encourage you to be like Paul. That if you can't be thankful for anything, be thankful for Jesus. Be thankful for the next breath that you take. Be thankful for the next beat of your heart, if there's nothing else that you can find to be thankful for. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, we don't deserve it. Father, we have failed more times than we can even begin to understand or comprehend. But Father, you've chosen to love us. Father, we live in a world that is deeply broken because of that, because of us. And because of that brokenness, Father, it's sometimes difficult for us to see the good. It's sometimes difficult for us to be thankful in the midst of all this. Father, we ask that you provide opportunities for us, that you show us things that we can be thankful for, even in the darkest hours of our life. Father, help us to find things that we can anchor ourselves to. Father, help us to have Jesus at the center of our lives, that if for nothing else, we can be thankful for him and for what He has done for us, what He's currently doing for us, Father, and what we know He will do for us in the future. We are so, so grateful for Him. God, and our prayer is that each day that we will look more like Him and less like this world. God, we are so grateful for everything that He's done. And that's all in His name. Amen.